The Bible says, and the angel, and talking to the shepherds, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've already experienced so far. I pray as we just spend a few minutes in your word this morning, you would remind us of the truth and the beauty of the message that the angel delivered to the shepherds and to all of us, the message of good news about a Savior being born. And I pray if there's somebody here that's never received that Savior, that this would be the time that they see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and their need for a Savior, and come to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The angel said, I bring you a message, and it's a message of good tidings of great joy. I want you to think about the good tidings of great joy that you may have heard in other areas of your life this year. Maybe you said yes to a proposal. One of Madeline's granddaughters, Kennedy, is here with her fiancé, Kyle. And this was the year that Kyle popped the question, and Kennedy said yes. And so for her, that was good news. Maybe there's others here that had that same experience where you made the decision to get married in the near future. So that was good news for you. Maybe it was the birth of a child or a grandchild. Whenever a new life comes into this world, we always consider it good news that God has bestowed on us the gift of life again. Maybe your good news came in the form of going to a doctor and the doctor said, "Hey, we've checked it all out and it's not cancer." Or the good news that the doctor has given you, like we've had several in our church this past week where the doctors have come in and said, "Well, it was cancer, but we got it all. We think we got it all. You don't have to, we think we, the disease is gone." Maybe your good news was just a loved one coming to visit, like Jack and Teresa are enjoying with their granddaughter coming to visit from North Carolina, or Bill and Ruth Ann as Greg and his family come from North Carolina. All those are examples of good news that we may have enjoyed this year. But the message of the angel, the good news of the angel, is news that brings joy that far exceeds any joy that we can have in this lifetime. Because this news comes from above, and this joy comes from God. We sing a little chorus, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. And I don't know all your circumstances this morning. I know the circumstances of many people in this room, but not everybody. But let me say this. I think there's people in this room that can use a message of joy this morning. The circumstances of your life, the pressures of your life, have robbed you of the joy that God wants you to have. So let me remind you this morning that, like the angel, I bring to you a message of good tidings of great joy. And this news, as the angel said to the shepherds, is news that God wants every person to hear. I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. Doesn't matter what background that you've come from. Doesn't matter what your economic standing is. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. Doesn't matter what you look like. This news God intended for every single person. Not one person is left out. Phooey on these people that says God has ordained some people to go to hell before they're born and other people to go to heaven. This thing of predestination is a lie straight from hell. God's intent is for everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when he says, "Hey, I've got good news and it's for all people," God means exactly what he's saying. It is for all people. There's nobody left out. Not any man, not any woman, not any child. The good news, they sang about it to us this morning. The good news is that God loves all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And he wants every single one of his creation to come to him.
Amen.
That's good news. Good tidings of great joy. Now here it is. The angels put it in a nutshell so that everybody could understand it. A Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. Now again, we talked about it in Sunday school, that title Christ and that title Lord. They're important. And they're going to be more important in the future as Jesus comes back the second time to establish his kingdom on this earth, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be that one that every tongue will confess and every knee that will bow to him. That didn't happen the first time he came. It'll happen the next time he came. And so those are important titles that the shepherds heard from the angel. But the one that the angel emphasized, the one that Christmas is all about, is a Savior is born. A Savior is born. A Savior is somebody that saves you from a danger. A Savior is somebody that pulls you out of a burning house. Or a Savior is somebody that pushes you out of the path of an onrushing car. A Savior is somebody that saves you from something that's going to harm you, from something that's going to hurt you. Well, the message that the angel had to the shepherd is a Savior is born. Not a Savior that's going to save you from some physical harm, but a Savior that's going to save you from the wrath of God. You see, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says there's a penalty, a wage that we owe for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And it's not physical death. It's spiritual death. Our sin separates us from God. Just like it did in the Garden of Eden. God made man, put him in a perfect environment, and said, hey, everything in this garden is yours. You can eat of everything in the garden, every tree, every vegetable, with the exception of one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit from that tree, because in the day that you eat it, you will die. You know the story. The serpent came, tempted Eve. She took of the fruit and ate it, gave it to Adam. He did eat. And the moment that they ate that fruit, the moment that they disobeyed God, God had to separate himself. The holy, righteous God had to separate himself from sinful man. And so he kicked him out of the garden. He separated himself from Adam and Eve. And that's what the wages of sin is. That's what the penalty of sin is, being separated from God. The angel said, but unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What does that Savior save us from? That Savior saves us from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
That Savior saves us from being separated from God. You see, that little baby that was born at Christmas grew up to be a man. He had a public ministry that lasted some 3.5 years, but he lived 33 years, and the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And Jesus spent 3 years telling us about the kingdom of God. He spent 3 years revealing to us things about God that we wouldn't find out any other way than to find out through Jesus Christ. And then God allowed mankind. Mankind. We look back and say, boy, those people were wicked back then. I want to tell you something. I believe if Jesus had come in this day, there would be wicked people today that would take him and nail him to a cross. Mankind hasn't changed. We'd nail him to a cross. And God allowed mankind to take his son and nail him to a cross. And while Jesus hung on that cross, God took every one of our sins and placed them on his son. And he suffered for us on Calvary, the payment for our sin.
Amen.
The sin debt that we owed. And he paid the price. And because he paid the price, God is able to offer to us the gift of life, gift of eternal life, payment for our sins, forgiveness for our sins, a home in heaven. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who saves us from the wrath of God, one who saves us from an eternity apart from God, one who saves us from hell. And so the angels said to the shepherds, as he says to all of us, fear not. Don't be afraid. No longer do you have to fear the past, because your past is paid for on the cross. No longer do you have to fear today, the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches that you go through while we're on this earth. There's somebody that will never leave you or forsake you to go through those things with us. And we don't no longer need to fear tomorrow, because we walk with somebody that knows what's coming. And we walk with somebody that can handle whatever tomorrow holds. Amen. So don't be afraid. Fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I close with an illustration this morning. True story, as I read it several years ago. A man married his high school sweetheart. They bought a house and established a home. They had two children, a little boy named Paul, little girl named Jennifer. They called Paul Pauly, and they called Jennifer Jenny. When Pauly was 5 years old and when Jenny was 3 years old, their mother started to feel bad, and she went to the doctor. And the doctor discovered that mom had a very rare blood disease. It was something that if they had caught earlier, they might have had a chance to treat it. But because it was so advanced, it was just a matter of a few weeks before Pauly and Jenny lost their mother to death. It was a hereditary. It was a disease that was passed through the through genetics. And so they tested the kids. Pauly's blood came back clean, but Jenny's blood had the start of the same disease that her mother died from. The doctors came to Dad and said, she's got it. If left untreated, she won't live till she's 8 years old. But we think there's a chance that we could use some of Paul's blood to cleanse Jenny's blood. And the story went into some detail that was beyond my understanding of medical terminology, so I'll just put it in my own words. The doctors told them that we think we can use Pauly's blood to clean up Jenny's blood and get rid of the disease that she has. And so the dad said, well, I'll talk to my son. So he sat down with his 5-year-old son. He said, Pauly, your sister's sick. She got the same thing your mom had. The doctors said that they could use your blood to cure your sister. Pauly, would you let them use your blood to help your sister? And the little boy thought for about a minute. And then a big smile came on his face. And he says, yes, Daddy, they can use my blood to help Jenny. So a few days later, they both went to the hospital. They laid the brother on one bed and the sister on another bed in the same room. They had a big machine in the middle of them. They hooked up IVs, and they began to pump their blood, both of their bloods, into this machine. And again, I can't tell you what it did technically. I can tell you the good blood from Pauly worked on the bad blood from Jenny. And as the doctors hoped, his blood cleaned up her blood. Whole procedure lasted about 5 hours, and it wore the two kids out. But the doctors came back after testing Jenny's blood again after the procedure was over and said, "We see no sign of the disease. It seems like this procedure has worked and she's been healed." Both children were sleeping in the room, their dad sat in a chair between them. Paulie woke up first, saw his dad. She said, "Daddy, how's Jenny?" Tears trickled down his father's face. He said, "Paulie, Jenny's fine. She's fine. She's well. The doctor said that it worked and she's going to be okay." After a few minutes, Paulie said to his dad, he said, "Daddy, when will I die? When will I die?" His dad looked at him and began to weep because he realized that his explanation to his son wasn't complete. Paulie thought by sharing his blood with Jenny that he would have to give up his life, that he would die. And so he was asking, "Daddy, when's that going to happen? When am I going to die because Jenny took my blood?" And his dad said through his tears, "Paulie, you're not going to die. You just shared your blood with your sister. You're going to live, and I hope you live a long, long time. But Paulie, thank you for loving your sister so much that you were willing to die to help her get better." I want to tell you this morning, it was a different story for our big brother. The only way he could save us from death was by shedding all his blood. He did that by dying on a cross. He did that as he paid the price for our sin. And he loved us so much. He loved us so much that he was willing to die to redeem us, to pay for our sin. That's what the story of Christmas is all about. "But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, this Christmas, if you've never received the gift that Jesus purchased for you on Calvary, would you take it? Would you take it? You see, it's just like any other gift. In order to make it yours, you have to take it. Just have to admit you're a sinner. And again, the Bible says we're all sinners. Some of you I just met this morning, I still know you're a sinner because this book tells me you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And to take that gift, we have to admit that we're a sinner. Then we have to believe that Jesus did die for our sins. That when he went to Calvary, God made it so that he paid the price for our sins. And then we just got to call upon him. Tell the kids as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Ask him to be your Savior. Say something like, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of God. But I believe you died for me. And right now I'm asking you to be my Savior." Simple prayer like that. Most of us in this room have prayed. If you'll pray it this morning, God will save you. Forgive your sin, wash away your sin, dress you in the righteousness of Christ, make you one of his children, give you a home in heaven, all the things that accompany salvation God has ready for you if you'd simply admit your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to save you. Amen. Would you do that this morning? Would you? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. During that song, you could ask Jesus to be your Savior right where you sat, or you could come up and we'll take the Bible. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to die in our place, to suffer what we deserve because of our sin. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never received that gift. I pray you'd help them understand that the only hope that they have to be right with you, dear God, is to come to Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And I pray this morning with simple, childlike faith that you've dealt a measure to every person, that they would come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to never take our salvation for granted. Help us to always rejoice with what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this invitation, dear Father. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.